You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
All righty, Jim and Jamal Potts back on the air. And as always, thank you so much for joining us on your in your afternoon, your Sunday afternoon, your Sunday evening, wherever you may be. Jamal, say hello to everybody.
Hey, happy Sunday, everybody. I hope y'all enjoy these playoff games.
Well, we got a three-day weekend also, let's not forget. Well, I don't know who everybody else celebrates, but we certainly celebrate it in California. So no work tomorrow. At any rate, hey, everybody, today we're going to be talking about a couple of things, and these are hot news items, obviously. One is about the situation with big tech trying to control the internet, et cetera. And the second one is that, you know, we keep getting this information from people about whether or not there's going to be this civil war. We see what's coming up with the inauguration and all of the troops that they're bringing in. So we're going to have some discussions on that as well. But we have another guest for you today. Her name is Christine Zito. And Christine has been on the show before. Christine, welcome. How you doing?
I am doing good on a nice Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, there you go.
The playoffs. Since the Rams lost, I'm rooting for Kansas City, but then that's a interesting game right now.
Christine is an expert regarding the, you know, the what, because I consider at least an expert on the internet, how it works and things of that nature. So we've had our discussions about big tech, a number of things that you're going to find probably pretty interesting, even some historical background on it, which I thought was very interesting also. Christine has done our website. So, I mean, she's done a fabulous job with that. So, matter of fact, Chris, I'll give you a plug. Anybody okay. wants a website? Christine is the one that can help you with that. So just giving Christine a plug right there. So if you need to, if you need any information on that, send me an email and I'll forward it to Christine. At any rate, hey, what we need to talk about today, Christine, we're going to get to in a few minutes. But the first thing I want to do is start off with these. We don't have any blasts today, but I want to do a shout out. The shout out's really going to go to Joe Biden. You know, he's going to be president of the United States as of this week. And I just hope that he leads the nation in a direction of positive, you know, that's positive for everybody and both sides of the aisle. We've had a lot of strife over the last 4 years. You know, he claims he's going to be able to do it. So he's got a lot of political experience. That's for sure. Can't argue with that piece of it. But we'll just wait and see. But hey, the shout out is on a positive note. Hopefully he'll lead the nation in the right direction. Jamal, any comments on that?
No, congratulations, and I'm with you. I hope that he leads, pull everybody back together. We got to remember, man, we all Americans at the end of the day, and it's time to really pull together and not separate any more than what we already have.
Well, part of the problem we're going to be talking about today with some of that is also is big tech, in my opinion, in the media, but we'll get into that. Let's start with these emails. Jim. And now the caravans are on their way back again because Biden has promised them the opportunity to invade our country. He also has promised a path to citizenship for 11 million undocumented aliens. Why do you think the Democrats insist on giving our country away? And that's from June from Omaha, Nebraska. Well, June, honestly, here's my feelings about some of this. First of all, if I'm in one of those countries and I'm trying to do better for my family, I can't say I would not be a part of those caravans, all right? But the other side of me would say that I feel that, you know, if anybody wants to come to the country, they have to do so legally. What is the Democrats' view on this, in my opinion? Why do they do this? Well, 11 million undocumented aliens, make them all citizens. That's 11 million votes. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Come on. That's the way it appears to me. We've been down this situation before where they talk about the path to citizenship and they wave a magic wand and everybody's a citizen. June, the only issue I have is the fact that there are people that have come here legally that have stood in line, so to speak. They're doing everything the right way. And how does that make them feel when, in fact, you know, now everybody just gets a magic wand and they're in? I don't know. Jamal, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, man, we're a nation of immigrants. We've always have been a nation of immigrants, you know. So the only real Americans here are Native Americans. You know, other than that, guess what? We're all somewhat visitors and occupiers. So I don't have a problem with anybody trying to better their family and their living situations. It's rough over there. So therefore, I have a hard form I can understand.
Well, let's just, when you say we're a nation of immigrants, if we go back to the beginning, let's just understand that the situation was a lot different then than it is now. I mean, there are a lot of people that have to comply with. We can't just ignore the laws either. Like I said, I make it clear I do not mind somebody coming here legally and going through the process. But people just going to the border and flooding across the border, no, I don't necessarily agree with that, because don't forget the other concern. Who's coming with those individuals, Jamal? There are people, you know, I've done a lot on domestic terrorism, international terrorism, you know, a lot of training. You know, I spoke in front of political groups, political associations on this issue. My concern is also who is coming with them. And I can tell you from a security standpoint, some of these individuals that are coming here to hurt us have been found out. Okay, and we're letting our guard down on some of this. So just got to remember, people will infiltrate that are coming here to do the bad things. Not all of the people coming, Jamal, are going to be here to do bad things. I understand that. But there's a piece of this we still have to be careful about. Chris, what's your opinion?
I really don't have much an opinion on this. I'm still concentrating on the next subject.
Okay, no problem.
Can I take the fifth?
Yeah, that's fine. No problem.
Let me say this. Maybe if we spend more time helping our neighbors down in Mexico than a lot of these other foreign countries overseas that we give so much money to, maybe we should help our neighbors a little bit more and help build their country up to be a better place.
Let's just talk about that, because if I'm not mistaken, I think that's what Trump did. I think Trump did, under his administration, he tried to pump up some of those other nations. I think money has been given to them as well. Okay, so he did try to do that, and he did work with Mexico. Mexico and the United States was working on this issue. That's why a lot of times those caravans started. But look, guys, don't forget something else with this. These caravans are flooding up here. Hey, what about the virus? We don't know. These people are going to be coming across the border. It's all, and we're in California. They're coming up through San Diego, Texas, et cetera. This virus is a horrible thing. I don't want to add to that as well. And this possibly could do that. So I'm not talking about the people that are here that are undocumented now. I'm talking about the ones that could be bringing, you know, additional concerns here. Let's just put it that way, you know. So we'll just see. Okay, we got some people. He's telling me, click on the comment section. Okay, live view stream showing. Okay. Immigrants have built the country. So we have somebody that's actually commenting that the immigrants have built the country. And that is true. Okay, that's consistent with what Jamal was saying. So thank you for that, listener. And we don't want to overlook that. Look, let me make it clear. Immigrants have built this country. Let me tell you something. African Americans helped build this country. Okay, I'm writing a book about that right now. So you're talking about African Americans that have helped build this country. The Irish came over here. Japanese and the Chinese came over here. More so on the Chinese were building the railroad systems and things of that nature. So yes, I fully agree that immigrants have helped build this country. No two ways about it. And I'll never argue that point. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't welcome immigrants. I'm only saying, in my opinion, it should be in a certain way in terms of how people come here. That was my only point. Jamal, were you getting ready to say something else?
No. I was agreeing with the Chinese railroad and things like that.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So again, thank you for that, listener. I always appreciate the comments that listeners send me. All right. Let's go to the next one. Jim, I'm the owner of a small fast food business in the Midwest. And now it appears that there will be $15 federal minimum wage under Biden. Don't they understand that the complications of increasing wages, that means we have to also increase prices for the consumers? I will have to lay people off to meet the requirements. We are already suffering, and so are restaurants. Are they trying to run us out of business? And this is just by Jake. He didn't give anything else other than his name, Jake, okay? So, look, I understand their concern about that, but let's look at this a couple of different ways. I personally don't think that people can live off of anything less than $15 an hour. That's my opinion, and I get it, okay? But there's a difference between living in California, okay, at $15 an hour, and somewhere in the Midwest, okay, where they might be making federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. Those businesses out there are going to be severely impacted if you do it across the board. That's why the minimum wage issue has really been dealt with on a state-by-state basis. California, we're going to be at $15 an hour. Some of the cities and counties in California are already at $15 an hour. Chris, what do you think on this one before I come to you, Jamal? Any thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, with the minimum wage. And I do believe that, you know, raising the wages, it does decrease employment. And so my opinion on that is to weigh the counties. And speaking of California, is weighing the counties and see who, in, because different counties are different when it comes to economic strength. And of course, LA County, I know LA City, the city of LA, the minimum wage is already at $15 an hour.
The county,
I think, just voted $15 an hour.
And the Bay Area has been up in those numbers for a long time because of the Silicon Valley.
Right. I think the Bay Area, if I'm wrong, somebody can correct me, it's at $12 an hour. But when you do that, inflation's going to rise. And so it's going to be back to where we were before, where $15 an hour is not enough.
Jamal, what do you think?
I thought about this a couple weeks ago. I always wonder who's benefiting from these minimum wage increases. It's not the business owners. It's not the people that's even receiving it because inflation is going on. So I think the government is the only one that's benefiting from this. And the reason why I say that is because the more people get paid, the more tax revenue that the government gets. So once again, the government has figured out a way to resolve their wasteful spending habits. And by doing what they seem like is good for the people and it's actually not.
Let me tell you what the Democrats are trying to do with this, Jamal. Again, they're buying votes. They love to be able to say, we gave you this. Let me tell you, Seattle tried this. Seattle, Washington tried this $15, mandatory $15 per hour. And you know what? A study by a University of Washington. Let me tell you what they determined. In their study, they determined, you know what happened? They raised it to $15 an hour. The employees made less. Why? Because the employer reduced the number of hours that they were working so that they could afford to have them there. You have layoffs, so they reduced the number of staff, you know, as well. And the hours, they reduced the number of hours each of the individuals were working as well. I'm telling you, this stuff doesn't work. When you have these smaller companies like that, these companies can't survive like that. And again, I want to just say that when you look at that, it's from a standpoint of an economic standpoint as well. Now, let me just tell you what I mean by that. Jamal, you're right, because the taxes as well. Because as those wages go up, payroll taxes go up.
Exactly.
And employees don't really have a good flavor for how much employers are paying in payroll taxes. Now, one listener just clicked in and said charity starts at home first. And I get that. And I'm not arguing the point about the $15 an hour. I'll make that clear. What I am saying is that I don't know that you could just do it across the board. I think that the emphasis should be on each state to try to regulate that, put you know, maybe give each state an incentive to move in that direction, you know, from the government or something. You follow what I'm saying? But you got states like California, you can't live on $15 an hour. So I get that. Nobody that works for us, as you know, Jamal, makes less than $15 an hour. Okay? This is California. But I think that in some of the other places throughout the country, I think it's problematic. You know? Go ahead, Jamal.
Let me add this also. You know, the other part of the problem is who's also winning? It's not the mom and pop companies, the people that saved up their last dollar to start their own little family business. But Walmart keeps winning. McDonald's keep winning. It's not the family-owned restaurants. And when you kill those small businesses, you're ruining American dreams. And
right.
Big business will continue to win because Walmart, at the end of the day, is not going to suffer.
I got two listeners that have been clicking in. One says if you raise the minimum wage to $15 or whatever, eventually all the wages will have to go up. Prices go up to compensate, and suddenly $15 ends up being too low. It ends up being a catch-22, a vicious cycle. That's what also happens. Another listener, Seattle employee did not want the raise because it eliminated her public assistance that she needed. You know, so there are a lot of different ways, I guess, that you look at this. But the realities are, I'm not sure. So, you know, Jake, I get it. I understand. I think if the government wants to get behind and do something, I don't have a problem with that. But I think mandating it across the board, I think, is a problem. I think they should work with the governors of each state, depending on which state that they're in, to try to get something a little bit more that's fair and equitable, is the bottom line. Let's go on to the next one. Okay, Jim, this business at Silicon Valley, specifically Facebook, Twitter, and Google, dictating the direction of politics is wrong. Their ability to decide who can speak and who cannot is wrong and is getting out of control. I hope both sides of the aisle can come together on this issue. Lori from Bethesda, Maryland. Lori, I'm in agreement with you, okay? They need to institute, okay, and hopefully under the Biden administration and the Senate and Congress is going to get behind getting rid of Section 230. Section 230, by the way, guys, is the area of the law that has to do with whether or not they could be sued. It's called the Communications and Decency Act of 1996. And Section 230 provides, immunity from civil liability information services. Providers that remove or restrict content from their services that they deem obscene, lewd, excessively violent, and harassing, which is what these guys are saying. They're saying if it has to do with violence, we've got a right to take it down, okay? But the problem is that they're not doing it across the board. And we're going to get into this in a second, but they're not really doing it across the board. Some of the other foreign dignitaries, like Merkel from Germany, Uganda, a few other places are saying, hey, wait a minute. You know, you can't control, you can't do this. The reason they're also saying that is because there are countries out there like Iran, Iraq, some of these individuals that are violent extremists. Their stuff has not been taken down. Jamal, what do you think before we get to Christine?
Yeah, I was going to ask, because aren't these like private businesses like Facebook and some of these other social media accounts, Instagram, these are all private businesses. So on one hand, how can you tell them what to do with their businesses or not?
Well, first of all, I think what we have to look at, Jamal, there are antitrust violations. As a matter of fact, Parler, which we're going to talk about in a moment, has basically been shut down. Okay, and they have now filed a lawsuit against Amazon. They have what they call antitrust, Jamal, where somebody can't have a monopoly and they're controlling everything. All right, that doesn't work, even though they may be privately owned. So antitrust situations, Jamal, are already a part of our law. They're not going to let any one organization control, let's just say, all the electricity in the country, Jamal. You know what I'm saying? So you have all of these smaller electricity companies throughout the United States, and now one guy comes in and buys all of those up and can now dictate, I'm charging everybody, $20 a minute, you know what I'm saying, in order to have electricity because I control the whole thing. So that's the concept, Jamal, where even though these things may be privately owned, that in fact, it doesn't work that way. Let's bring Christine into this conversation because this has to do with the internet. Her background is back. Chris, do me a favor. Start off and give us some education because Chris and I had some conversations on this and I learned some things talking to her. Let's start up. How did all of this even start about the internet? Give us a little history first.
Okay, well, I design and build websites. I don't know all the answers, but there are a few things that I do understand and I do know because I build and design websites, and which Jim had said I had an opportunity to build his website, a couple of websites for him. Now, man, when you start talking about Twitter, Facebook, Amazon, and Jamal, you are absolutely correct. They are private entities. But what has happened is that these entities have these huge followings. And Amazon owns, what we're going to be talking about with Parler and where his app is at, is in the cloud. And Amazon owns this cloud-based marketplace. They own more than almost 50%. They control that market space. And I don't know if anybody's going to be able, I'm pretty sure somebody will be able to beat it or at least compete with Amazon. But right now they own it. And So what I do in building websites, I had to educate myself a little bit more about the World Wide Web. And I had no idea that there was a difference between the World Wide Web and the internet, because we generalize websites and things like that as the internet. We tell people, are you on the internet? And people associate that as the World Wide Web. And the internet, of course, this is going to open up a can of worms. It dates back. It was invented, started way back in the 40s, but let's just bring it to where people mostly know it is more like in the 50s. And it started with a couple of researchers at UCLA. And then from that research, two other guys came along and invented the TCP, which is the transportal of information, and the IP, which is transfer protocol. That's the internet. What's the internet? I'm going to make it very simple. It's a bunch of computers with wires. So I can communicate from this computer to maybe Jim's computer over there, and it's all wired based. And so we can build an internet. So the internet is not really, it's not really owned by like one person, but that's the internet. And that's where the emails got started. I think emails and like instant messaging are the only ones that do not have URLs. But it's all internet based. And it wasn't until like, I think our very first website that we've ever seen was in the early 90s. It started back in 1989 by a guy named Tim. And he created what is known as the WW World Wide Web. So that's what people see. The World Wide Web has to have the internet. If there was no internet, there would be no World Wide Web, which is websites. And websites are made up of what a lot of people know is HTML, which is a code, which what we see. But when I design it, I design it in code. I see code. People see what we see right now. And so that's the, you know, very short version. There's a long history. There's a lot of things that you can learn about the internet and the World Wide Web. And when we talk about control, the control is not necessarily the internet, because the internet is this, it's a, like I said, it's like a computer based with, and it's all done or powered by wires. But it's all about what you can put on the World Wide Web. And I think that's where Amazon comes in and Facebook comes in and Twitter comes in, if you want to really look at it for what it is.
So in terms of them being able to, with the current issue, mm-hmm. where, as an example, Parler, which was starting to compete with Twitter, I believe it was, now because of the fact that Parler had some things on there that was it Amazon and Twitter, Facebook, you know, they're shutting them down because they say that they have things on there that are violent expressions of people. So explain how they have the ability to shut them down. I just got a message, and Zoom is making a lot of money right now when all of this is true. That is true. They are making their paper. There's no doubt about it. But Chris, so explain how they were able to knock Parler out of the box, basically.
Okay, from what I learned is that Parler was using Amazon, using their cloud base to power their app. And because it was cloud based and it's a click-in agreement, they don't hold to the same standard as a normal agreement. So they can just eliminate anybody. And so they just... When the owners of Amazon said, hey, after what happened at the White House and people charging the White House and this particular Parler, this social app, because it is an app, this social app and people going on there and encouraging this particular riot or whatever you want to call it, charging the White House.
Okay, I need to clarify. It's the Capitol building, not the White House.
I'm sorry, the Capitol building.
All right, just to make sure. Right. Okay.
The Capitol building, they went and they, which if I could just side note, which I find it quite amazing that it was so easily accessed. But anyway, okay, so they go and charge the Capitol and they blame Parler as being a part of the influence and influence this type of violence, because it's a lot of, you know, they consider a lot of conservatives on here, a lot of Trump supporters on this particular app. and they went and they organized this particular riot and went in there. And so Amazon just took it upon themselves and said, okay, that's it. You have totally crossed the lines of your agreement and we're taking you off. And they took them off. And if
they're being sued because they're suing. Jamal, remember I just told you about antitrust, right?
Right.
So Carla is now suing Amazon, not only for antitrust violations, but they're also suing them for breach of contract because they had a contract with them. And in essence, they have put this company, for right now at least, out of business. Because as Chris explained to me earlier, they've got no platform. They've got nowhere where they can, you know, be on the internet, so to speak, because right. their platform. So explain like what we're talking about with the platforms, well, Chris, and how that works. I'm sorry, Jamal, go ahead.
Well, my question is, did Parler violate their agreement?
I think is what they're saying is that... I'm sorry, go ahead. Did you
have no, what Amazon is saying that they violated certain agreements and how they can put their content up there. And they felt like inciting or encouraging violence was one of the...
Parler's position, though, Jamal, is that they are not saying these things, okay? All they're providing, Jamal, is an arena for people to be able to speak, okay? Their First Amendment rights to be able to say or do whatever they want to do. Parler's also saying, well, wait a minute. You know, you're telling us about this, but what about some of these left-wing extremists that are out there? Or what about some of these foreign nations where, like, the Ayatollah and some of these people are spewing hate? You could go on the internet and see stuff with ISIS talking about killing Americans. All of that's still out there. All Parler is saying that, wait a minute, there cannot be a double standard. Just because my organization caters to a lot of conservatives, you want to shut me down, but on the other side of the coin, you've got all these violent extremists around the world that you let use your platform to be able to do that. Now, Jamal, I'll ask you, does that sound right to you?
No. Based on what you're saying, no.
That's what it is.
It doesn't sound fair. It doesn't sound right.
And that's the point that's being made here. And that's why there's a lot of issues going on about big tech, you know, even with the presidential election, that they were sort of, you know, the allegation I'll say is that they were one-sided. So anything, the bad parts of a President Trump, so to speak, they're going to blast that out there and put that out there. The good parts, as an example, they're not going to be, all right, as an example. You know, so that for some people, that's problematic. Why can't you just be a forum that's out there where people could express different opinions and be able to express it? And if you're going to say that if you put violence, you know, and extremism hate up there, which I don't agree with. I don't think people should be putting that on the internet. But if you're going to do it, then be fair across the board. That's all.
Yeah, what concerns me is the power that's at hand. I mean, for social media, because Twitter took down Trump and Parler, and Facebook stopping Trump and not to defend Trump. You know, I'm just using his as an example. That is a pretty scary thing when you can no longer speak freely, because some of the things that are spoken freely is absolutely incredibly astounding to me, no different than what Trump or anybody else is saying. But to just cut somebody off like that, all it does is create more fear, and love is not winning.
This got a message. I didn't see any left-wing extremists storming the Capitol and threatening to kill the vice president and other elected officials. I don't think anybody, especially with the three people on the air right now, even suggests that. A lot of people were appalled by what happened. So let's make that clear. And when you say I don't see any left-wing extremists that did that, well, there's been plenty of – I mean, anybody that listens to my show, there's plenty of left-wing extremists out there. There are over 1,000 hate groups in this country. Left-wing extremists have done their things. These people turning around and going after what they did at the Capitol is wrong, okay? And when this person says, I don't see any left-wing extremists storming the Capitol, I don't know. You know, I would say, were you there, okay, doing a hit count on who was left-wing or right-wing? So I don't know who was there. All I know, it was a group of people. The assumption was that they were all – and I don't know – that all of them were right-wing extremists. I think there were people that were there that you know, worked jobs like everybody else and moms and pops, and that doesn't make them an extremist. Do I think, you know, going into the Capitol That is absolutely wrong. And anybody that got caught doing some of that and the damage, in my opinion, hey, they get prosecuted. Goodbye, in my opinion. So let me make that clear. Okay? Chris, I'm sorry. Were you going to say something?
I just want to say this. My background, I was a talk show producer in the entertainment industry for over 25 years. I worked for huge companies like CNN, Fox News, and Christian companies all together. And you know what the overlining similarity is in there? Is anger. All of them are angry about something, and they use that anger to express it in the wrong ways. And even Christians do it. Left wings do it. Right wings do it. What happened in storming the Capitol was absolutely horrendous. I mean, that is no way to contribute to trying to make peace or, hey, let's just, you know, change the guard by using violence. And left wings do it just as much as right wings and even Christians. Doesn't even, to me, I saw it all. And that's why I left the industry. And it's because when we see where society, just society other than culture, society is going, people have unbridled anger. And we're teaching our kids to love hatefully. And that's where, and we need to, if we were to start with ourselves, with our families, I know that sounds so simple, so weird, but it's very true. Because individuals can think for themselves, whether you're left wing, right wing, or whether you're in the middle, which is no such thing. But, you know, for me, I saw it all. I've seen it all. I wish I saw things I never saw. And so when we come to a situation like this, where Amazon, Facebook, Twitter, they're private entities. They're people just like you and me saying that you cannot say this, you cannot say that. And if you do, I'm taking you off. Something that's wrong.
I think that's the problem I'm having with parties lately, because everybody's blinded to the actions of their own party. And like Christine said earlier, there's extremists on both sides. Antifa's a left-wing group. And we know the hell they've caused over the last couple of years also.
Also, you know, last year during the summer.
Well, yeah. And so just because they're got a left-wing agenda doesn't make it okay for their actions. The same with the right-wing extremists. We spoke out about, the alt-right group who were extreme right-wing people.
You mean the Proud Boys?
The Proud Boys, the people who stormed the Capitol. Those are right-wing extremists. I think they're all terrorists, to be honest with you.
Those are forms of domestic terrorism, Jamal. I don't disagree with you at all. Look, I want people to know out there that our position is very clear. It's violence in general, okay? Violence in general is what we're talking about, okay? We don't like the violence, and there shouldn't be the violence. This business about, you know, what happened with, you know, during the summer, Jamal, everybody's got a story to tell. I've talked to some of my liberal friends that will turn around and say, well, there's a difference. You know, what happened with all of those riots is because of racism. So because it was racism, okay, then, you know, it's okay to do that, okay? Now, you can protest, you can do all of those things, but just watch the videos. These people are burning stores for people who have absolutely nothing to do with whatever went down, nothing. People are out of business. Stealing their merchandise, all of those things. What does that have to do with a protest against something that's wrong? In my opinion, nothing. You know, but it doesn't matter. You know, everybody has their own agenda. You know, and end of story. You know, I got another message from one of the listeners. The anger we saw on January 6th was based on a big lie created by Trump. Well, you know, we already know that. Everything is Trump's fault. We got that, okay? You know, Trump was his own worst enemy. You know, there were some good things that he did, in my opinion, while he was president. The biggest reason why, in my opinion, he didn't get reelected, even though he had 75 million people that voted for him or whatever the number was that he just couldn't shut up. I can't put it any other way. I mean, from day one, people weren't happy with the treat, you know, the ego, the this and the that. You know, it could have been a completely different, you know, situation, in my opinion. But, you know, he was a guy that believed in speaking his mind. And, you know, it cost him, a reelection. So end of story. But getting back to this business about big tech, you know, you got big tech controlling this. This is not good because, to me, it is controlling speech. Keep in mind, historically, one of the reasons why we talked about immigrants who came to this country at the beginning, they came here because they were escaping certain things. One of the things that they were escaping was, you know, prosecution based on religion, based on speech, and based on the press, things that they couldn't say. That was one of the reasons why these people came here initially. They didn't want that. That's why when the United States Constitution was created, what did they do? The First Amendment has protections for all three of those things. They couldn't even separate out which one should be first, maybe one should be second, and one should be third. So they put them all in the First Amendment. And freedom of speech is one of those things. Now, look, the Supreme Court over the years has had a lot of cases, has heard a lot of cases on freedom of speech. Obscene speech is not protected, as an example. Violent speech is not protected, or you can't be in a movie theater and yell fire, okay? And people get hurt trying to get out. And now you say, well, freedom of speech, I can yell fire. No, okay? And then during the Vietnam War, which is before both of your times, I assume, you know, the what was the issue then? Symbolic speech, because people were burning flags and doing this and doing that. So they were talking about this symbolic speech out there, and certain things are protected as well because it's symbolic speech. All right? Go ahead, Jamal.
So, Christine, so do you really feel that that Twitter and Facebook is a threat to our First Amendment rights?
For what they did with just banning Trump and some other conservative people, yes. And they, you know, they do control, how can I say, and this is my opinion, just from my experience, is they, you know, they have a platform that is all about expression. And they claim to be all about, hey, express yourself. And if you go on Facebook right now and just put in their search, hate, you're going to see platforms about people talking about how they hate the police, how they hate their spouse. And there's a page where you can join a Facebook group and how to hunt down your husband if he's cheating. But that's okay. And right. So that, because that's expression. But when you, right now it's so sensitive, you can't even really say anything without being a bigot, without being, you know, judgmental. And I think that, and I really do believe that those pages are wrong. They shouldn't even be on there. There should be no platforms where there's room to hate anybody. But yes, to answer your question, it is a threat.
I'm one of those people that believe in like smaller government. How much do you feel that government should be involved in businesses like this? And where would it be crossing the line?
Well, you know what? You're bringing something else up. Jamal, I want to ask Chris a question along those lines. Chris, okay. On the World Wide Web, who sits on the board of the World Wide Web?
Oh, yeah. When there's updates, those that sit on that board are Google, Microsoft, WordPress, GoDaddy. I can't remember all the ones.
You see what we're talking about here, Jamal?
Yeah, they get together and they have to put in updates. So it's just to help level out the World Wide Web.
You know, so it's not the average Joe Blow. These right. are the same people that we're talking about. Now, I just had somebody send me an email that said, Jim, what if someone in your company badmouths you with a lot of people? You have a private company. If you fire that person, are you violating their First Amendment rights? Well, first of all, I will tell this listener that I deal with those kind of questions every day for clients, okay, where they get upset because people have been on the internet talking about their employer. Don't come here. They cheat the customers. You know, my supervisor's an idiot. Well, to answer the listener's question, okay, the United States Supreme Court has dealt with that issue and said that an employee after work can say those things, okay, and they are protected under the First Amendment. So I would not fire that person for expressing an opinion, because if they do it after work, it's on the internet. I tell clients this all the time. Can't do anything about it. Then you put in things like Yelp. Okay, Yelp jumps out there. You know, now Yelp was created, and they put things on there, you know, regarding this business isn't worth nothing, blah, blah. Those are all First Amendment protections. They're protected. The internet is turning into a monster, is the bottom line. Okay? It's turning into a monster. Okay? And you know, you can't control it. Once you're out there, you are out there. Bottom line. You know, so do I think it's wrong? No, let me tell you something. There was one website that was being created. So it was like Harmony or one of those, where you could actually go on. It wasn't eHarmony. It wasn't that one, but I'm saying like one of those where you could actually go on there. And what was going to be the issue? That you would have an open forum, okay? But if you don't like Jamal Potts, okay, you could go on this forum and you could be blasting Jamal. So they had this thing, and eventually that just petered out because that was going to create a whole lot of issues for people. It's bad enough with people doing rumors and people at work, okay, with rumors on the internet. You know, it has created problems.
Yeah, what you're referring to was like a personal Yelp review that basically you could put in anybody's name and badmouth them and do whatever you want to do, correct?
Yeah, and I mean, look, I tell clients get upset because of Yelp, and they'll say, Jim, one of our former employees is blasting us on Yelp, blah, 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 they got fired, they didn't like it. You know what I tell them? And Jamal, you've heard me tell them this. Forget about it. Because the reality is, in a week to 2 weeks, hey, Jamal, you tell me, it just peters itself out, and they move on to something else.
True.
Clients want to be able to get a cease and desist letter. They want to go to court. They want to do this. You want to do that. Save your money. In a week, 2 weeks, these people are moving on to something else.
Right.
You know. But that's what makes the internet so bad. Let's talk about whether or not we're going to be faced with a civil war. Okay? People keep bringing this thing up about a civil war. First of all, you have a civil war. You're going to need leaders. Okay? Who the hell is going to be leading some crusade across the country, okay, for a civil war? You know what? And that's the other issue with the internet. See, Jamal, back in the day, you didn't have that kind of open forum where people could talk about all of these things. The internet now lets everybody get online and talk about everything, okay? You know,
this is what I'll say about a civil war, man. We saw how that worked when I saw the video of that poor, unfortunate female that climbed through the window and got shot. Everybody quieted down and turned around and walked back out the door. You know what I mean?
That's so, it. Because so that was that brought everybody back to reality.
Right. So how much of a civil war are we really talking here? Yeah, there were some people that put up a front wearing fatigues and helmets and stuff like that. But when that woman climbed through that window and got shot, before they was yelling, yeah, keep going through, keep going forward. When she got shot and killed, everybody stopped and walked the other way.
Jamal, and what also happened with, what did Mike Tyson say? Everybody's got a plan until what?
They get the first hit. That's the truth.
Let me tell you something. When I was at Howard, okay, in the early 70s, and, you know, during that time, late 60s, early 70s, they were having a lot of unrest on campuses. It wasn't just at Howard where I was at. Campuses across the nation were having all these protests regarding the Vietnam War, blah, 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 blah. And we were all acting crazy, okay, to make a long story short. Man, let me tell you something. All these brothers and sisters were out there, Jamal. They're mad as hell, blah, blah, blah. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Man, when the National Guard, Jamal, came up in formation up Georgia Avenue, Jamal, you didn't see it. You couldn't keep up with how fast everybody was running to get the hell out of the way.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I got somebody. Someone hates violent criminals and discusses ways to stop violent criminals, but a disproportionate number of such crooks arrested and incarcerated are one protected group or another. So now you're considered racist and your expressions must be censored. You know, everything that happens these days, I don't know why, but everything that happens these days, they bring up racism. Everything is racism in this country. And I think that, I don't want to say it's overstated. There are issues out there, in my opinion. So I don't want anybody writing to me telling me that, you know, I agree that there are issues out there. But whether or not there's a concerted effort out there, is there people are getting together and banding together, like for, you know, law enforcement and all that. I was a part of law enforcement. Nobody told me just arrest black people. You know, it was nothing like that, you know. So, Jamal, with this civil unrest and everything, I agree with you. You know, people should not, you know, overreact to this, in my opinion. I'm not saying there aren't crazy people out there. History has shown us that there's crazy people out there. We get it.
Hey, okay. As crazy as the incident that happened on January 6th at the Capitol, at the same time, that was just a small group of a few thousands out of the hundreds of millions of people that Americans that live here. It was just a small group, and a small group can do some damage. You know what I mean? But I think it was mishandled. You know, but as far as a whole all-out civil war going on, no, because that would endanger their families and their wife and kids, and they're not having that. At the end of the day, I have a listener that's trying to type something to me.
She's typed something twice, but I don't see any comments on there. So just to let the listener know, I see you've typed, but there's no question or comment there. At any rate, I fully agree. I think it's good that we have the amount of National Guard there, because let's face it, because after what happened with the Capitol, they're not going to take any chances. So we've got the National Guard there. They're surrounding the place and the whole nine yards. I'm willing to bet that it is not going to be anything even close to anybody doing anything except for maybe doing some, you know, doing some shouting or something of that nature. It takes a lot for a civil war to happen. It takes a lot of coordination, you know, things of that nature. I know some of the state capitals around the country all, you know, going to be prepared. Chris and I were talking earlier. She was getting some information from people that were telling her, make sure you stock up on everything for, you know, for a 2-week period, as if we're going to be going into some massive, you know,
you're gonna be staying in your homes for 2 weeks and things like that. And they were trying to tell me the difference between, you know what, Jim, let me just put this out there, and Jamal, what is the difference between civil unrest and civil war?
Civil unrest has been around forever. Okay, to me, civil unrest is just people who are upset about something. I get that. Civil war means you are going to violently overthrow this government. And I don't, you know, don't tell me that these guys were going into the Capitol because they were going to go in there and capture the government. You, how could you capture the United States government? You know, well, just with these people sitting in. You know, yeah, they're not doing. They weren't. Go ahead, Jamal.
I mean, well, they were saying things like hang Pence, and they had a noose outside. I'm not saying they would have done it. I'm not saying they would have reached it, but they said they was in fear of their lives. And I don't blame them. There was a whole mob coming in there. They did kill a police officer with a fire extinguisher, a Capitol police officer. So they were a violent mob going into the building.
Jamal, I agree with that. But being a violent mob going into the building, so you think these people who just came together for the first time, some of them had a game plan, as an example. I'm in charge. You're in charge. Who's going to be in charge? It's not that. They were just going in there, okay, to voice their, you know, their violent expressions, in my opinion, which I think is wrong, that they disagree with the outcome of the election.
Right.
They weren't going to overthrow the government.
For the first year of Biden's presidency, I would be concerned for his safety, because I just think there are some, for whatever reason, Trump has quite a few numbers of nutcases that are extremists. I'm not going to the point of saying that Trump is going to call for somebody to get assassinated. I'm not saying that at all. But however, he does have a following of some serious nut jobs, man.
Jamal, every politician probably has somebody that's got people following him that are doing things that you can't control. You're saying you'd be concerned about Biden? Hell, if anybody should have had any concerns for the last 4 years, it's Trump, because that guy was hated like no other president has ever been hated. Okay? Yeah. And quite frankly, you know, when this is all over, hell, Trump still better be careful, Jamal, because there's people out there that hate him, okay, right, as well. And I agree with what the listener said, never underestimate anybody. And that part is true. I mean, I've talked about that on my show. I agree. Don't underestimate anybody. And I get that, okay? But I'm focused on whether or not we're talking about a civil war. I still don't see it. We're going to have pockets of people being upset and violent and all of that. This country has opened the door to all of this. Okay, for decades. This isn't new. For decades. You know, I'm sorry. Were you going to say something?
No. I was just listening.
Yeah, you know. Another listener said, and there was a guy with a bunch of zip ties. They were planning to take hostages or something like that. Trump could have put an end to it. Yeah, okay, here we go. You know, Trump could have put an end to everything. I get it, okay? The reality is, okay, is that you can't control a mob by one person like that, okay? That something's happening. And I listened to his speech. He said, peacefully go down there. Peacefully. The whole thing. He said, peacefully go down there.
Did you hear a couple days ago, too, that they found a guy with an unregistered weapon and 500 rounds of unregistered weapon?
Yeah. He was interviewed today. He pulled, he said he pulled over to them to ask them because everything was so turned around. You know, he said, look, that's not what I was there for. He works for a security company. When they asked him, did he have a weapon? He told them yes. Right. And he worked for a security company or something of that nature. So he was speaking out today. This is not what the picture. And that's the problem with the media. The media will paint these pictures like, oh, yeah, there's a guy that showed up with a gun. And he had five. He said he did not have 500 rounds of ammunition. He didn't have any of those things. And he pulled over to them to ask them for a direction. And they turned around and asked him, well, you know, because they saw on his vehicle, they saw a sticker, like the NRA stickers and stuff, and said, oh, do you have a gun? He says, yeah, I got a handgun. Okay. And so he told them that. He wasn't right. there like he was going to crash down some barrier and he was looking, you know, do some headhunting. It was nothing like that.
Right.
And he's been arrested. Okay. But let's just see how that ends up being. And I bet you that ends up being nothing.
Right.
But that's how this stuff works.
Yeah.
You know? At any rate, hey, looks like we're over time. Guys, listen, it's always fun. Chris, thank you so much for being on the show. Jamal, any goodbyes before we leave?
Hey, everybody enjoy their week, man. Happy Martin Luther King Day tomorrow.
Okay. Hey, thanks to all the listeners for sending in their comments as, you know, and questions as well. We really appreciate that. Appreciate that. Be safe. Talk to you next week. And do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Until next week, be safe. Thanks again, Chris.
No problem.
Let's close out, guys.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.